live at AsylumFantasySports.com, RSSportsRadio.com, and heard worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network. It's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
Yes, it is. We are Flagrant Briggs. Welcome into the Asylum, and thanks for taking a few minutes to listen to us. Please drop us a line, AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
On Twitter, @AsylumFootball.
Oh, that's right. iTunes, subscribe for free. Leave us a rating, comment, all kinds of good stuff.
Anything. Quit being so lazy.
Yeah, you are. You're lazy. You will not become Asylumite of the Year being this lazy because we're not liking you if you don't do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it right now. So, Rick, jam-packed show in what has now become the world's brightest studio. I need to wear some sunglasses in here, apparently.
Go ahead and turn it off. Oh, you're going to be able to read this.
All right, so I'll man the light as well as all the equipment. That's more like
it. You know
what it is, I think I've discovered. I don't like seeing you in bright light. You've sort of faded out a little bit, and that makes it much easier to do.
I don't like seeing me in bright light.
I think wonder if we could do the show sitting back to back.
I don't know, because, actually I do. When we're arguing, I like looking at you because you infuriate me, so it just keeps me going.
I don't know. We've never argued, I don't think.
Well, that's true.
So,
we haven't had a good one in a while.
No, it's been pretty calm. Well, once we get the season ramped up and you start really saying stupid stuff, that'll get us going again. So I'll tell you what, let's hit some headlines. I guess we got to dance around the combine a little bit, although I don't have a ton of patience for that. And it is back, everybody. I know everyone's been clamoring for it, Rick. In fact, or fiction is back here on the Asylum.
Well, when you get that many emails and requests an episode of Fact or Fiction in the off season, you have to do it.
There's people beating on my front door, Rick, wanting to know when Fact or Fiction is coming back. So I think we have to do it.
Must be the same people.
Probably. They're just bouncing from house to house. Yeah. So we got to do that. But first, a few headlines. Rick, I know you tweeted about this earlier in the week and had an opinion on it. Seahawks looking to release Sidney Rice, apparently.
Yeah. And I tell you, there's a guy that had all the potential in the world. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. He really hasn't had a decent year since the Brett Favre year in Minnesota. But I tell you what, I'm not so sure he can help somebody. I mean, he's big. He's got some good hands. And, I'd still like the potential of this guy.
Yeah, the health is one thing you certainly worry about. However, if you put him in another Brett Favre-type situation, you put him in a New England comes to mind for me.
I tweeted about that. I could see New England picking him up.
You have a guy or putting him with an Aaron Rodgers or a Drew Brees or one of the – even a – the Steelers would never make a signing like that, but even a Ben Roethlisberger. This guy could be a significant contributor. And health aside, I think skill-wise, you saw what he had. He was probably – if not the biggest surprise that year with Brett Favre and the Vikings when they made that run. And it'd be interesting to see where he would be. The Seahawks, not a pass-first offense. They ran the ball, so even when he was healthy under Russell Wilson, not a lot of success. I'd like to see him in a high-powered offense.
I would, too. He's certainly big enough, and just what the doctor ordered, I think, in a Pittsburgh, they'd need a big receiver.
They'd rather draft some guy in the sixth round you never heard of and hope he works out. Read Marcus Wheaton.
Lymus Swede.
Lymus Swede was another real winner there. Teams always struggle with wide receivers. So, Rick, this story I find interesting with all the big-name quarterbacks at the top of the draft and not a ton in free agency. The Redskins open to trading Kirk Cousins. The asking price would be a second-round pick. Where do you land on that? You give up your second-round pick for Kirk Cousins?
Well, it depends on, I guess, what team I'm at. If I'm already up there looking at the Bridgewaters and so forth, like a Cleveland and so forth, that's in desperate need of a quarterback, may not do that. Somebody that's adequate and has a decent first-round pick, it may not be a bad situation if you're not in a huge need for that second-round pick. You hate to give up something that high.
I'll tell you, though, it's a limited body of work, but this kid's shown he can do it. Anytime he's gotten the ball, he's put up numbers, and he's found a way to win football games. I would feel more comfortable with him than with any of these guys. There's always question marks, unless you're talking about Andrew Luck. He was a lock-it-down guy. Who was before? Probably all the way back to Peyton Manning before there was a surefire can't-miss that actually worked out. Kirk Cousins, you've seen him do it. If I'm the Browns, certainly you bring them up. I'd give up a second-round pick for him in a heartbeat.
Oh, certainly. He's Cleveland. I'm not sure what they're going to be doing. There's a lot of talk at the Combine is quarterback for Cleveland, although they do try to deny it. But, I mean, let's face it, that's what they need.
That's probably the most glaring need, I would say. Certainly you can pick up a running back later. If you're the Browns, you've got to come out of draft day, be it via trade for a Kirk Cousins or somebody like that, or via a first-round draft pick. You have got to. You got to walk away from there with at least a reasonable starting option at quarterback coming out of the draft.
Yeah, definitely. So, I don't think that's too high of a price for a Cousins for the right team. Okay, how about, of course, you spent that high dollar on Geno Smith last year.
Yeah, if I'm the Jets, I think about it, and I believe that their name was mentioned in the running as a team that may be interested as well. That team, they're really, really, we talked about it last week, and you be the GM, really hurting at the wide receiver position defensively on both lines, not in a bad situation. They're a quarterback away from being relevant anyhow. I don't think they're a championship team by any means. There's another team, if you got somebody under center, could win some games.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, they were pretty competitive last year when they were written off. So, you know, you had a nice quarterback in there. For God's sakes, get a receiver.
Yeah, anybody. Santonio Holmes is the best you can come up with. And seven guys named Steve, year in, year out. Jeremy Curley, whatever happened to him? Is that guy still around?
Yeah, I think he's still around. But
he'd pop up every now and again, have a 14-point fantasy game, and he'd be the first guy everybody picked up on the waiver wire and the first guy they dropped the first thing Monday morning.
Oh, exactly. But anyway, time will tell with Cousins. We'll see how eager teams are. You know, when you put a guy out like that, there's always the speculation, oh, well, you know, Cleveland could use him, the Jets could use him, on and on. We'll see. We'll just see how eager they are to go out there and fork away a second-round draft pick.
Yeah, people, they treat that second-round draft pick like it's pure gold, but I think if I can get, he's a young guy, he doesn't have any mileage on him, he's had limited success in his limited, for our English-speaking friends, in his limited reps, but he's made it work and he's looked good, and I'd feel just more comfortable going into a camp with a guy that I've at least seen it do it a little bit on the pro level.
Yeah.
So let's get into the combine, Rick.
Before we do that, I also heard briefly, as actually at work and was sidetracked and looked, but it seems to me I saw somewhere where Tampa was interested in McCown from the Bears.
Oh, yeah. I can't blame
Lovie
him for
Smith.
Hooked back up. You got to wonder about McCown. He'd never done it before, had a fantastic run there middle to late season for the Bears. How much of that was Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffery versus
Matt Forte.
Yeah,
Martellus Bennett.
Decent offense is going on. He's not going into that in Tampa Bay. You got Vincent Jackson. Mike Williams, after that fantastic rookie season, has been a bit of a letdown, I think, to me. Really nobody, that Underwood kid with the awesome high-top fade, but cool hair doesn't help you win football games. You know, and the big Doug Martin question mark.
And the big question is running back.
And I think we'll probably address that once or twice during Fact or Fiction, if I can guess.
I would imagine. But, just something to keep an eye on there.
All right. So let's get to this combine. I ain't going to spend a whole lot of time on it. In fact, you can bring up anything you want, Rick. I just want to talk about Jadeveon Clowney running a 4.53. That is impressive speed for a defensive lineman. Certainly, and I don't know how much that translates into success on the field, but this guy, the measure of the vertical jump apparently was mind-blowing as well. This guy is a freakish athlete.
Yeah, I mean, you're running 40s like that. That's fast, but consider the fact you're 266 pounds.
That's even more impressive.
That's very impressive. There's no question about that. This guy, and this is reportedly from an athlete with an okay work ethic. You know, how this translates him into an NFL player remains to be seen. He's a freak of nature as far as athleticism. Is he going to take the time to learn the system? I have a feeling he's going to.
A lot of the speculation I've heard, and I don't know where it came from, if it came from something he said, if something those around him said, that his tendency to take plays off in college was trying not to get injured going into the pros. Now, that doesn't justify taking plays off. Yeah, I like a guy with that constant motor, full right. bore all the time. And they ran a special later on in the season on the ESPN College Game Day or whatever they call that show every Saturday morning. Showing they had this montage of plays where the ball got snapped and he just stood up, you know, and that's all we did.
Right.
And I think if you're an NFL GM, you worry about that. But if you believe you can coach the guy up, if this was his ultimate goal, look.
Well, it's one thing with Randy Moss doing that on a play.
Yeah.
But this guy's on defense.
Yeah, that ball can come your way at any time.
Right, a fumble, anything. You know, I mean, all kinds of things can happen on plays. And that is more worrisome. I mean, you know, it's bad enough, like I said, with a Randy Moss or somebody of that ilk on offense taking a playoff, knowing the ball isn't coming towards him. But when you're on defense and you're on the line,
right?
All kinds of things can happen.
Yeah, and look, when I look at Clowney, here's what I see. That's a concern. That's going to be the negative column. In the plus column, look, these numbers don't mean anything to me. I'm sure once you get on the field, the difference between a 4.53 and a 4.61 can be huge. To me, for my feeble mind, that's not enough. I don't care about that. I don't really care how high he can jump. But you add these measurables on top of, along with the montage of him just standing up on plays, there is another montage of him just blowing people up. I mean, this kid
no
can
doubt.
Play.
And I do care about, you do to his degree, you have to care about his speed, vertical leap, especially on defense. I like the cone times, you know, when you have footwork and so forth. You combine all of that, then with, like you said, with the propensity just to blow people up.
He just trucks people. This kid just trucks
people.
You get
the right coach to keep that motor chugging all the time. I'll tell you what, there's no limit, and I put him with J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Now, there's a guy that can mentor him on a motor that
right.
never quits.
Now that was my next question. So you're the Houston Texans. Are you looking, I think Manziel coming out of the combine has emerged as the obvious probably number one quarterback coming out of the group. If there was any question before, if you're Bill O'Brien, is it Johnny Manziel for you or is it Clowney?
If it's me, it's Clowney. I think he's the best player, and I think I can limp by with Schaub and Glennon, or not Glennon. Glennon's Tampa.
Yeah, now, Glennon's in Tampa.
Who's the guy? Oh, Lord. My mind went blank.
That's all right. I'm going to sit here and stare at you until you figure it out. You've done that to me before.
Yeah, that's probably.
Come on.
But anyway, I'll come to it.
Oh, you're
going to
Googleize it. But
I'm going to have to. But
how about this? Number one, yeah, I agree. You get him on that defense, even with your questions on offense, if assuming he can translate what he did in college into the pros and you can keep him motivated on every down, that team doesn't give up more than 17, 20 points a game. You don't need to score a whole lot to win.
No, they were the number one defense for the longest time. I mean, I think they ran out of gas after a while. But
he spent 75% of the snaps on the field.
Well, that's the point.
While Schaub's throwing interceptions on every third pass play, you're going to get a little tired. It's hard to blame them.
Well, yeah.
Now how about, what of this, Rick? How about this? I'm putting my GM hat back on. I will be the GM as I was last week. Why wouldn't I? Give me one good reason, if I'm the Houston GM, and I don't know who the Houston GM is, and I don't care to know, to be honest with you. Why would I not draft Jadeveon Clowney, give up my second-round pick, bring in Kirk Cousins, and put my feet up on the desk and look forward to a brilliant 2014?
That is brilliant. I was thinking the same thing. And, of all the shtick that we did last year, Casey Kasem, you know, Case Keenum.
Hey, there you think you'd remember that, right?
You would think I'd remember that. All I can think of is Mike Glennon for some reason.
Casey,
my mind.
Old
just...
Casey Kasem. Poor.
But anyway, okay, say you can't get the Kirk Cousins thing. I think I can still get by with Schaub and Keenum. Hey, you have to go with one of them. I is Schaub done? I mean, this guy's a veteran. He's actually had some good years. I mean, we talked about in fantasy, relevant a few years ago. 2-0 last year. Then all of a sudden he throws the game away and just a total spiral. I mean, he looked like he had no clue what was going on.
Yeah,
is he done?
I don't know. Do you just – obviously what happened, he knows that offense. He knows how to play the quarterback position in the NFL. He's done it with at least a modicum of success. Certainly not that disaster that occurred last year. you know, to use a golf term, did he just get the yips? And can he shake them in the off season? He never recovered during the regular season. And I think things have a way of spiraling out of control on you like that. I think Eli Manning, quite similarly, he's not that bad of a quarterback. We talked about that with Pamela Michelle a few weeks ago. The kid's won Super Bowls. The kid's won big games. Same with Matt Schaub, save for the Super Bowls. I think he just got a yip. It got in his head, and it just keeps rolling and rolling. It is the snowball going down the hill. It just keeps happening. I guess the question is, are you confident that going into the offseason, he comes back into the regular season next year? Was there something with Kubiak, you have to wonder? There was a strange dynamic there all year. There weren't a ton of stories on it. You can tell there was something there. You wonder with Kubiak being gone, Schaub, you know he can do it. There's not a lot of other quarterbacks out there I'd rather go into the start of the year with in terms of availability. I think you give it a roll, and if you got Clowney and Watt on each end, again, you only got to come up with about 20 points a game.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the second round pick for Kirk Cousins, that's not a bad problem.
I wouldn't hesitate there at all.
And who's to say you couldn't pick up a fourth or fifth for a Schaub?
Yeah, possible.
Keep Casey Kasem.
Well, you got to have Casey Kasem.
Keep Case Keenum, you know, to mentor a little bit. Certainly going to be a decent enough backup,
yeah.
I would think.
And he had all the looks of a backup quarterback. He had flashes of brilliance. He was bad at times. He looks like a backup to me. Yeah, I think Kirk Cousins is a starter in the National Football League. I've been that impressed in his limited amount of work.
Well, we're going to have to keep an eye on Kirk Cousins, see what happens there, because when you start a love affair with a guy, we have to follow him all year long.
That's true, and it normally doesn't end well for the player, I have to be honest. So, unfortunately, Kirk, I think I've doomed your career. So, Rick, let's move on. Actually, let's go ahead and take the break about a minute early here, because I want to get into the Ray Rice story. I believe we slow-rolled it a little bit last week, and a lot more details emerged pretty much immediately after we went off the air, which tends to happen to us. So,
yeah, no doubt about it. So, hey, we'll be right back with Ray Rice story.
All right, and we're back, Rick, after what was probably the smoothest commercial break in the history of commercial radio.
Yeah, I think it was. There's no question about that. It was a commercial for how important is a technician on a radio show.
Apparently very important, Rick. So we're going to talk about, and then you're going to do most of the talking, while I feverishly try to find out what's going on with the soundboard here. So let's check that out. But, Rick, the video, we talked last week about the Ray Rice situation, the apparent fist fight he got in with his girlfriend, and, you know, I don't think that ever goes well for anybody. But I think we kind of downplayed it. They got a little drunk. They started wailing on each other in the elevator. And then about the end of last week, Rick, this video emerges of Ray Rice dragging his unconscious girlfriend out of the elevator, or at least most of the way out of the elevator. I don't know, did you watch the video, Rick?
You know, I have not even had the chance to see it.
All right, I don't want to make light of such a horrific domestic situation. However, the only thing I regret is that he drug her out head first, and it was her feet that were stuck in the elevator, because he only got her partially out, and the door kept closing and hitting her and opened back up. Now, to me, it would have been funnier if it was bonking her in the head. I got to be honest. Now, I don't know her name, the future Mrs. Rice, assuming that still goes through.
Yeah, boy, if she is, you know, says something about her intelligence.
Yeah, no question about it. So the door's closing, it's smacking it off her feet and opening again. Just the absurdity, Rick, of seeing that. You don't want to make light of it. The video, absent of knowing what led her to that state, if she was drunk, that would have been the funniest video you ever saw. What made it not funny is here is a grown man, a professional football player, and undoubtedly a hero to many children in the city of Baltimore and in whatever New Jersey town Rutgers is in, knowing that she got to that state by him knocking a woman out cold.
I know, and I mean, like you said, if he was dragging her out feast, I mean, it would be like a Three Stooges thing, the door pounding on her head, but yeah, you can't make light of that. I don't know what's going to happen as far as charges going against him. You know Lord Goodell is going to have to step in.
Oh, Lord Goodell is all over that.
Yeah, I mean, he has to raise both hands over his head.
Yeah. And declare.
And make a decree, for one thing. And then he has to bring them down, and then law is laid across Ray Rice.
Well, certainly no doubt about it. And I'll tell you what, in this case, Rick, I normally, to your point, I'm not a fan of Mr. Goodell. He's not my kind of guy. I can't lie. However, in this case, I think he needs to make a statement.
Oh, certainly. These are the kind of things that are unacceptable. It's a crime, number one.
Serious crime.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you are committing crimes, that's a whole different ball game than if you swear at somebody.
Right, yeah. Well, we'll get into that. I hate to belittle it by calling it swearing. Thursday, check out the bonus hour. We're going to tackle...
Oh, and I'm not even referring to that. I see what you're saying. But, I mean... You know, it's just that's just a serious charge, and if you're committing crimes, then look, if we're committing crimes, we don't have a job.
Yeah, it's just that simple.
Yeah, so it's
there. It is, Rick. We are back, baby.
Extremely loud,
but I got it.
And extremely annoying.
Hold on. All right. Well, the good news is I got it to work. The bad news is now it won't turn down.
And
so.
We're deaf.
There it is, Rick, the tech genius.
I am
Rick
the tech
Briggs
genius.
Has stepped in and saved the day again.
Thank you.
Don't you wish everything in life worked that way? So the board worked before we went on the air. I did test it. I actually showed up almost an hour before airtime instead of almost 48 seconds before airtime, as I generally do. Tested out all the equipment. It worked quite nicely. And then I come and we're on the show. I start smashing buttons. The opener played. Nothing happens. All I had to do was turn it off and turn it back on, and all the problems are solved. That was all of life. You could just turn it off and start over again.
Like buffoons like you blame it on ghosts.
It could have been a ghost.
Poltergeist and all this other nonsense. When in actuality, it was just some inept button that you hit pulled a cord out and it got loose.
No, they touched no cords. I turned the thing off and turned it back on. And all is right with the world.
Pish posh.
I'm just so happy it's back. But back to Ray Rice. I think this, seriously, Rick, is a circumstance where Lord Goodell now... Let's look at fantasy value, what this means for Ray Rice down there.
Well, it's already plummeting to nothing.
Well, right. This guy, to me, if it's proven that he did this, I guess we don't know that, but 99.9% certainty.
Ghost could have cold cocked her.
Ghost could have knocked her out. Maybe she was just hammered. Like, I wish she was hammered, because it was... All right, this is terrible to say, but the video, if you didn't know what was going on, is probably the funniest thing I've ever seen. It really is. And he doesn't know what to do, and he's got her half out of the elevator. You haven't watched it yet, right? You've got to get on there and watch it. And he'll kind of like pick her up, and she ain't awake yet, and then she'll flop on the ground. And then some random dummy comes up and starts talking to Ray Rice. And Ray's just standing there like chatting with the guy. It's no big deal. And he's sort of shaking her, and then she sort of comes to it. It's just, if you didn't know how you got there, it would be funny. But I know how we got there, so it wasn't funny. This guy's got to sit down for 8 games as far as I'm concerned. This ain't no 2-game gimmick. This ain't no fine. Here's where you want to take on a cause, NFL, and like I said, we're going to talk on the bonus hour about how they want to make the use of a racial slur a 15-yard penalty. And you want to suspend guys, Ben Roethlisberger, who is a slime ball, granted, who was never charged in any crime for 4 games. You know this guy. You want to take on a cause if you're the NFL. You have those weeks, those breast cancer awareness weeks where they all wear pink, and that's a great thing. How about it? You got to take a serious, serious stand against violence against women. I have no patience for this whatsoever. And it's funny to say, being the biggest misogynist pig that I am, and I think you agree with that, Rick, I have no patience for this stuff.
With the pig.
And and as a league, as an organization almost entirely of men, you need to stand up and say, we will not tolerate this from any of our employees.
I agree 100%. No question about that.
As you well should. It was a very succinct and well-spoken point.
Succinct is not your strong suit.
Well,
I
disagree. If you play that back, and the commercial break notwithstanding, the rest of it was pure genius.
That's true.
All right, Rick, here's another story that absolutely... Are you watching the video now?
Yes,
you got
I
that
am.
Grin on your eye. If she was drunk, would that not have been the funniest thing you've ever watched in your life?
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, she got in that state by a grown man, an NFL football player, putting her to that state. So
I like how the Good Samaritan doesn't even help
no,
out.
No, he's
like,
just sort of chilling.
Get her feet out of the elevator.
Like, there's no audio.
Together.
I picture the conversation being... Hey, aren't you Ray Rice? Yeah. I had you on my fantasy team.
Yeah, you stunk.
All right, Rick. Speaking of stunk, the Cleveland Browns and basically coming out and saying the Niners half admitted. This story fascinates me that apparently the Niners and Browns were in a trade talks for Jim Harbaugh. I find it. I've never heard of trading a coach. And the 49ers come out and say, while the Browns did reach out to them, they obviously weren't interested in trading their coach. However, at this point, Harbaugh and the GM there in San Francisco aren't even on speaking terms from what's being reported. And there's a story, a big headline on NFL.com last night, that the Niners aren't inclined to beg Jim Harbaugh to stay. I can't imagine. This guy's coming off three NFC championship games, came away one play away from winning a Super Bowl. They can't seem to get him out the door fast enough.
I know. And it's, God, wouldn't that be scary to have two Harbaughs in the AFC North?
Oh, yeah.
But it's, I mean, you just look at the reaction to him, to his own brother winning the Super Bowl that year when they met in the field. You know, everyone should be disappointed losing the Super Bowl, but he was about as cold as I could say.
Oh,
I mean, you would think just big hugs and yucking it up with your brother.
I mean,
you lost, and so, you know, hey, I'll be back, I got to get with my team, that sort of thing. But it was like weeks later, and they hadn't even spoken.
Yeah, weren't there stories they hadn't spoken
yet? Yeah, they hadn't even spoken. I mean, there's something... Yeah, there's something fishy in Denmark. We talked about this saying last year. There's something amiss up there and stares with old Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, he's a lunatic. There's no
there's
doubt
no
about
question.
It. See, you've got two things working here, and I guess that's the decision you have to make as an organization, and it seems the 49ers are making their decision. X's and O's wise, this guy's obviously a brilliant coach.
Oh, yeah.
That 49ers team was a joke ever since Steve Young left, until maybe a little bit with Jeff Garcia. He came around and turned them around instantly. He took a Stanford team that was a perennial mid-range Pac-10 team over the last 15 or 20 years before he got there, had them playing in the road. That might have had a little bit to do with a gentleman named Andrew Luck as well, but I think Jim Harbaugh had a lot to do with getting him in that state. So X's and O's guys, I got to assume a brilliant coach, but he's just a petulant child. I can't stand to watch. Yeah, you know, I like emotion on that. We're going to get into that in the bonus hour. I like emotion out of my coaches. However, this guy flopping around, waving his arms, screaming, doing cartwheels, this guy is a freaking lunatic. It's simply all there is to it.
I guess I'm sort of neutral on the thing about emotion. Pete Carroll without emotion, to me, wouldn't be Pete Carroll. I agree with you there. But on the same token, Tom Landry, Chuck Knoll. All they do is look at you and say something
in a soft
voice.
That's fine.
And they didn't need it.
Yeah.
Now, they carried the command. I mean, and there's Hank Stram, just very animated. John Madden was very animated.
But Jim Harbaugh makes Pete Carroll look like your high school librarian. I mean, this guy's an idiot. He's a lunatic.
Yeah. He doesn't... Pete Carroll seems to coach emotionally on the sideline.
Right.
Jim Harbaugh whines and cries and calls foul on every play.
He's just losing his mind. And I think it tells you what you don't know is what goes on behind closed doors. Here's what I do know. If I'm a GM or an owner of a football team, I've been to three straight NFC title games, and I've just about won a Super Bowl with this man. And I can't wait to get rid of him. What's this guy like when the cameras are off? What's he like in the owner's office that they've taken this stand? It makes you wonder. And anybody else with this kind of success, they'd be throwing that $8 to $10 million at him. Hell, they don't even want to talk about contract extension with him right now. They cannot wait to get rid of this man.
No, it's insane. So
this is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out and just what – because I think – realistically, I think they will trade him before the contract's over.
You think they trade him? When's the last time a coach was traded? That's something they did like in the 40s and stuff. You don't see that in the modern sports realm whatsoever. What do you give up for a coach?
Seems to me that happened here just not long ago.
A trade for a coach?
Uh-huh.
Why don't I remember this? Silence isn't good on the radio, Rick.
Well, you quit talking just because you had to start pecking buttons because you can't figure out anything else to do.
I am Google-eyed.
I am trying to...
Efforting. That's what we say in radio. Effort. We are efforting information.
Yeah, you're bloviating. I can't remember, but it seems to me that there was a trade made not long ago just for, third or fourth round or something of that nature.
Oh, boy, I don't remember.
I could be wrong, but anyway... I just think he's going to be gone before the contract's over, which, speaking of San Francisco, you see Fantex put out the IPO for Vernon Davis.
Oh, what's BD stock going for these days?
Well, it doesn't say, but it said it was being offered. And, of course, I have to have my light. I just can't.
Here we go. I'm back. I put the spotlight on Rick. Yeah, that's what this whole stinking show's about.
Well, it ought to be. it ought to be video of me with you sitting on the other side of the camera, just, making sure that the camera's on me. But, no, Fantex has the IPO out. It doesn't say how much it's for. They give a phone number to call in to get a prospectus and all that kind of stuff. So, I tell you, they're still pushing this stock stuff on players.
Yeah. I think we talked about it before. Who was the initial player that came out?
Arian Foster,
it? Yeah. But, I don't know. You talk about short-term gains there, you know what I mean? How long is this guy's career? So, certainly interesting. As an athlete, I'd spend a pretty penny on some VD stock, but as an NFL tight end, boy, he has a tendency to come and go, and so doesn't do a whole lot for me. I don't think I'll be adding Vernon Davis to my portfolio, Rick.
No, I don't think I would either. But, I just pulling up. But NFL coaches, the only thing that's really coming up is, the Browns almost traded for Harbaugh, so... doesn't really have anything.
I'm getting from the impression on here that the Bucks actually traded the Raiders for John Gruden, but I can't get confirmation on that.
That does sound familiar, but I can't seem to find it either. But, we'll do that some other time.
All right, yeah, let's move past that, Rick. So I think it's time. Do you have any other stories out of there, or can we go to the game?
To the game. Oh, you want to do factor?
Well, certainly. I don't want to do it. The millions and millions of asylum.
I did want to bring up, because I was kind of disturbed just yesterday, and we talked a little bit before the show. You didn't really realize who it was till I told you, but Harold Ramis passed away. And for all of you that don't know who that was, he co-starred and co-wrote Caddyshack, Stripes, Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day, Animal House, Meatballs, and among other movies. I mean, you could probably argue that it's probably two or three of the funniest movies ever made.
Oh, yeah. You're talking and, Caddyshack. Did you say Animal House?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those two are right up there.
Yeah. Ghostbusters was good. Stripes was good.
And how I feel about any movie pre about 2004. So for me to like them, they must have been pretty good.
Well... No, it's good slapstick humor is just pretty good. Doesn't matter how old it is.
Well, that's true.
Three Stooges are a pretty good example there.
Yeah.
But I was kind of sad to see him. But then to further on to that story, today I was on MSN.com, and I just happened to be scrolling around, and down in the bottom there's a little snippet, and it said comic legend Harold Ramis died. I looked and I took a double take. They had a picture of Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
And,
whoops.
Yeah, uh-oh.
My bad. Sorry, Dan. All right, Rick, here it is, via Wiki. I mean, that's where you get all your good big news in on the internet web is Wikipedia.
Yeah.
After compiling a 40-28 win-loss record, including playoffs, in four seasons with the Raiders, Gruden replaced the fired Tony Dungy as head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2002. Via via a high-stakes trade that included Tampa Bay. Listen to this. I don't remember this. I don't know why I don't remember this. Included Tampa Bay's 2002 and 2003 first-round draft picks, 2002 and 2004 second-round draft picks and $8 million in cash.
Wow.
That's what the Bucks gave to the Raiders in order to get John Gruden. Now, I guess they got a Super Bowl out of it, and that's about it. Now he's in the Monday Night Football booth.
Yeah, yeah, they got a Super Bowl.
There's not a player out there people would give that up for.
No.
And Peyton Manning in his prime, nobody would have given up 2 firsts and 2 seconds and $8 million. I don't think the cash much matters. That's insane. How do I not remember that?
I know. That was in 2002, you said?
Yes.
And they won the Super Bowl in what year?
It was right after that, wasn't it? Didn't he win in his first year or second year?
Well, I thought Tampa Bay, and I could be wrong, I was thinking Tampa Bay beat the Raiders.
They did.
With Rich Gannon.
They did.
God, I thought that was before 2002, but I could
I think
be wrong.
It might have been 2002.
It could have been.
Now I got a wiki then. Hold on.
Oh, Lord. But anyway, yeah, we got Fact or Fiction coming up, and it's going to be just a jam-packed, exciting, prize-filled episode. Oh,
prize
wait a
filled. There's ooh.
I guess we better go
2002,
over.
2002, they won the Super Bowl. 2002 season. So, yeah,
okay.
First year with the Bucks beats his old team.
Wow, nice. Now, as you all remember, a couple weeks ago,
okay,
we made a Olympic fantasy draft.
Oh, we're going to do that on the regular show.
Might
We've been
well
updating
just,
that on the bonus hour. I like this.
We'll just get it. Well, it's over with, so it's really not.
Yeah.
There's no more suspense. Now, on the bright side, you beat me in total medals.
Right.
And
moral victory for your boy.
Just to recap, you had United States, you had Russia, Finland, and Netherlands. I had Canada, Germany, Austria, Norway. Top scoring team, Russia, 107 points. And if you hadn't listened, we were giving out 5 points for a gold, 3 for a silver, 1 for a bronze. Russia, 107 points for Rick Flieger. Second in scoring was Canada, a distant 85, 22 points behind. And then came Norway with 80. United States was 78. Then came Netherlands with 70. Germany was 63. Boy, we've got a tight race, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, it's close. It's close. I'm feeling lucky.
In fact, you're up on me pretty good right now. Then Austria, my last team, came in with 49 points. Not what I expected out of the Austrians.
Yeah, kind of disappointing.
You know, only 4 gold, 8 silver, 5 bronze. I was a little disappointed in my Austrians. So you would think that you might nail it.
Now I got you.
Talk about disappointing. Finland, 1 gold, 3 silver, 1 bronze, a total of 15 points.
Well, the sad part is they got most of those goals about 3 days ago as
yeah,
well. They won
the
them
silver,
all at the end.
Yeah. But Rick Briggs, 277 points. Rick Flieger, 270.
Well, I would congratulate you, but I would rather have more medals than more points. I am claiming moral victory. I was the true patriot taking these
well,
here United States of America.
You did have more medals,
I
however.
Did. That's all that matters.
I had more golds.
Nah.
I had more silver. You did win bronze.
That's
congratulations. You won the bronze medal title.
Hey, I will take 20 bronze over 3 gold. I'll tell you that right now.
You go right ahead.
All right.
Give
Rick,
me the gold.
Well, we are up against it. Let's break about a minute early. We'll see how it goes this time.
This
and we will
be
back with Fact or Fiction. Smooth as silk that time, Rick. We are back live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com. No, I don't.
Because Pedro is back from his coffee break.
Pedro.
Yeah.
Who's Pedro?
He's our technician.
Okay, Pedro.
Yeah.
All right, Pedro. Well, it's time to play Fact or Fiction. Hit the button.
Well, you hit the wrong button.
Oh, I
Pedro brought a large cup of coffee back with him, apparently.
What are you doing? Yeah, let the theme play.
I don't really like the theme.
Don't be waving your fingers at Pedro's board. Rick, this has become a ragtag episode of the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
It's the offseason.
Heard worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network. We haven't mentioned that in a while. So, Rick, It's time to play the game. If you haven't listened before, it's very complicated. I will ask Rick. He will in turn ask me various questions, and we will determine if that is indeed fact or, sadly, fiction. So I hope everybody can follow along. Feel free to play along at home. Rick, I will start this show. We brought it up, the star in what I have determined the slapstick feel-good comedy of the year, that Ray Rice video. Fact or fiction, my friend, Ray Rice leads the Ravens in carries in 2014. Had to think about that one for a minute.
I don't think he will. I think the NFL is going to set an example with him and make a statement. And, you know, I just don't think that he's going to. So we'll have to see how it plays out. If nothing happens, he will. But I just think something's going
to
come out of this.
I have to.
Even Ozzie Newsom says the video does not look good.
No, it's pretty hard. If they can find any proof or get an admission that he caused this young woman to be in that state, it's a minimum 8 games for me, Rick. And I wouldn't throw up a flag if they suspended him the whole game. Or the whole game. Good Lord. The entire season. The league needs to make a strong. I think we know, Rick, unfortunately, you hear the stories. You've heard it about James Harris. There are numerous guys. I won't even start listing them out. That this is far, far too common with National Football League players. However, this is the first time we've got to see it, or at least see the results of it. Now's the time the league has got to stand up. I say 4 at a bare minimum. I want to see 8, and I wouldn't care if it was 16, to be quite honest with you. And I agree, Rick. I don't think he leads his team in carries. He was banged up. He's on something happened there, and I don't think as an organization the Ravens are going to stand for that stuff for too long.
No, I agree. And they're just it's not going to go away, I don't think.
No, you can't let it go away.
Right. Okay, I will start my questions with, I don't know, to me it's the obvious one. Mr. Clowney is the number one pick in 2014.
I think he has to be. If I have that first-round pick, we talked about this at the top of the show. Look, the kid's got all the measurables, which is fine. I'm just not enough of a draft pick for all that to mean a lot to me. I have seen enough of him blowing stuff up. And Houston's a good spot for a guy like that to land, I think. In flux with the new coach, you got quarterback questions. That's a team that was expected. You know, you can't take the results and throw them out because we expected them to be in the playoffs. You expected that to be a playoff team. Assuming Arian Foster's healthy, you got J.J. Watt there, a solid defense. Like you said earlier, they came undone towards the end of the year, but that was the number one defense in the league for a large part of last season. You add a Clowney into that, you get Arian Foster back healthy, you got the new coach. If you can find a quarterback or Schaub can turn it around, this is a good spot. And I think if I'm like the Houston Texans, the quarterbacks are a risk. I think Clowney's the safest bet up there and the best athlete. So if it's my pick, I'm going Clowney.
Okay, say you're Houston.
I'm Houston.
All right, you're the GM of Houston. And somebody who would be a good one, Atlanta.
Okay.
St. Louis gives you a call. We want to trade up. Now you get another, say, a little bit lower first-round pick, and say we'll throw in a second, or maybe next year's first, something.
If you're giving me two firsts, I'll do it. A first and a second, maybe. I don't know. Those picks are so precious. I know teams love that. I'd be surprised. I think you're probably looking more like first and third. Isn't that the going rate? Or is it first
probably
and second?
Probably could be, yeah.
To move up to the top. My thought is, I'm thinking if I'm the Texans, I'm not that far away. I don't need all those picks to rebuild. I don't view the Texans as a rebuilding team. Something derailed there. I don't know what it was. I believe the talent's there to get it back on the rails without blowing everything up and rebuilding that team. Now, I know in the NFL you pretty much shuffle the deck every year, save for the Patriots, the 49ers recently. Basically, you're completely reshuffling the deck almost each and every season. I don't think I'm that far away to the Texans. I still got a window where I can be good with the veterans I have, and to bring in a Clowney and to have that first, second-round pick on top of it, I'm not sure I entertain that. You always entertain it. Look, so if you throw two firsts right. at me, I obviously consider it. I mean, you throw a player in there, I don't know what they're looking for. But it's certainly possible, but I don't think I mess with it right now. I'm that impressed with Clowney. I want him on my squad on the other side of J.J. Watt.
Yeah, I just brought that up because, you know, there was a thing. Atlanta, you know, was in the talks of maybe trading up to get that. He indicated he'd like to go to Atlanta and so forth. And you wouldn't be losing a whole lot if you gain a pick. I mean, Atlanta's probably what? I don't even know, fourth or fifth?
Right.
Something like that.
Now, here's the deal. If they have designs on taking a quarterback, then you do it in a heartbeat. You know what I mean?
Right.
But if you're just looking for the best player available, that's Clowney, and that's the way I'm going.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's the best player, and I think they can limp by with quarterback because you go down to even like the fourth pick. You're looking for offensive linemen, I'm thinking. I just don't think that pick for them is a Bridgewater or Bortles or something like that. I just don't think their quarterback situation is as dire as some other teams.
And my point is, I don't know why. I mean, this is a team with the number one pick, the worst team in the league last year. I feel like they're not that desperate that they need to take that risk on
right.
the quarterback when you could take as close to a sure thing at his position in Clowney.
That's true.
All right, Rick. Well, let me flip through here because we are not going to get anywhere near through all of these. Let's pick out a good one for you. Rick, fact or fiction, you have doubts about Adrian Peterson going into next season.
No, I don't have any doubts. I think that he's just fine. Is he going to have 2,000 yards? Probably not, but... You know, he's going to be probably between 1,300 and 1,500 yards and double-digit touchdowns. I think he's fine.
I have some concerns. I don't want to say doubts. Everything you said, I tend to agree with those numbers.
Well, concerns are a little different than doubts.
He started to break down a little last year. This guy gets so many carries year in,
True.
Year out.
There's no doubt.
He had that miraculous recovery from that ACL. I don't want to call it miraculous because that wasn't a miracle. The man worked for it, and he worked hard. So miraculous isn't the right word. But you start to see him break down. You see him missing games, which he'd never done in his career. And it had nothing to do with the knee getting nicked up. This guy has been the focus in a bad offense for so many years, save for the year Brett Favre was there. I'm worried. If I had the number two pick in the draft, I'm thinking the fantasy draft. I think Jamal Charles is pretty much emerging as the clear number one.
I'm taking LeSean McCoy over him.
Right, exactly. Now, Peterson was the clear number one going into last year, so now he's dropping to three. So you're still talking about a top...
Not to me, he wasn't.
Well, no. Here we go. It's all about Rick Briggs again.
Well, of course.
But I have... I'm going to draft him, but I'm not going to draft him with write Adrian Peterson down, write down 22 fantasy points a game and not have to worry about it.
Right.
I have some concerns going into next season.
Okay, but you stop and look. Okay, we've established Charles and McCoy. Say you're number three, and you want running back. Okay, we're not going to get into the wide receiver debate here.
Right.
Do you take Matt Forte over him?
No.
Marshawn Lynch?
Not at three. Not enough upside on Marshawn Lynch. That's crazy. His steady production is fantastic, but I think you've got the upside on a Peterson that he could go for 2,200 yards.
Le'Veon Bell?
No, certainly not.
All right. Eddie Lacy. I mean, this is where I'm going. I mean, try to pick out somebody.
Yeah.
You're talking Charles McCoy, and if you're not talking Lynch and then the stretch Forte,
yeah.
I cannot think of anybody even in the same stratosphere.
It's not Arian Foster. You know, it was Doug Martin last year. That's certainly not going to be this year. I don't think you can take him below three unless you take a wide receiver or something. You know, you could make the argument.
Wide receivers aside, but
yeah.
say we, you know, just
he almost has to be the third running back off the board. I'm just saying, and I don't have any issue with that. I would gladly take it if I'm sitting at
right.
three. even with my newfound want to take wide receivers in the first round, if I'm sitting at number three and Adrian Peterson's still there, with all my concerns, I'm still making that pick. It's just not the slam dunk to me that it was the last 5, 6, 7 years.
I agree. And even with the propensity of taking a wide receiver, say, at number three, and Peterson's there, knowing what running backs will be there coming back up, as opposed to wide receivers, see, I think I'm still leaning toward Peterson in that situation.
Yeah, yeah. We won't get in. We got the whole offseason talk about the receiver thing, but I'll just say I'm ready to make that move at about six, about midway, where there'd be somewhat reasonable talent coming back up. But, all right, let's move on from that. Let's keep the game going, Rick.
All right, we don't have much time left, that's for sure. And here's one off the wall. I just feel a need to ask this one.
Oh, okay.
Brock Lesnar will end the Undertaker streak at WrestleMania.
Nobody ends the Undertaker's streak at WrestleMania.
I agree.
And I haven't watched a lot of wrestling over the years. I remember when Brock Lesnar was first in. I hate this guy.
Did you see it last night?
No, I didn't.
At the very end, Lesnar and Paul Heyman's in the ring talking about they can wrestle whoever they want, blah, 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 and all of a sudden the old bell tolls.
I like when the bell tolls.
Yeah,
because
WrestleMania
cool.
is coming up.
Yeah, so it's always in March.
And he hasn't been around for months and months.
Oh, he just disappeared.
And he just shows up, and he walks up in the row. Well, then they start getting tough. Well, make a long story short, Lesnar got chokeslammed through a table. And,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. You know what I miss? Yeah, I hate to end the show on WWF and right in the middle of Fact or Fiction. Do you remember how every now and again there would be a match and The Undertaker would win and they'd be in an arena? You know, just pick your arena in your favorite city, wherever you're from, and there would just be a massive mound of dirt there and The Undertaker would bury you in it.
Yeah.
And I was to believe you'd been buried alive, whereas I've watched this thing for an hour and a half and there was no dirt. And then all of a sudden there's this big pile of dirt.
Right.
And he going to put you in the ground, as I do the air quotes, and you're done. Yeah, I
sure.
like that. I like it cheesy. That's the way it should be.
Oh, it was awesome, especially in the early days when he first came on with
Paul Bearer. Oh, yeah, I like Paul
Bearer.
He
used to be Percy Pringle down in the...
Percy Pringle?
Yeah, he was a manager. And I forget, The Undertaker was actually called Dangerous Mark something.
He's never. He hasn't always been the undead.
No.
Oh,
uh-uh.
I think you were born undead. Who knew?
Yeah.
All right, Rick. Let's squeeze one more in here real quick. Fact or fiction? Gio Bernard will have a larger role in the Bengals' offense in 2014.
Yeah, I can see this going through him. You know, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is a nice little 1-2 punch, but I think we're getting a lot more ones than twos starting next year. And I think he's really going to start being the key to that offense.
And I waited for it all year, Rick, and it just never happened. And it starts to creep in your mind, is the law firm now the Fred Jackson of the Cincinnati Bengals? You got to wonder now. He never had the...
No, he didn't have the takeaway
Fred
power,
Jackson
right.
had. But they just kept feeding him the ball, and Bernard was in that C.J. Spiller role. I like to think, and I hope to think, that Gio Bernard is going to turn that table a little bit. But it's something to watch, and it holds. I think Gio Bernard's a top-five pick, if not for the law firm. The law firm's still going to be there. I think it pushes him down further in the first. I think he's a first-round pick probably
next year. It does push him down. There's no question about that, but... You know, you look at it realistically. If you're Cincinnati, it worked pretty effectively last year.
Well,
why break it? Fantasy people go crazy because they want Bernard to break loose. But I think it's going to increase. But, you know, you're certainly going to have a strong influence in the law firm as long as he stays healthy.
And I think it's going to hold down Bernard's draft value just a little bit because you don't know what his roles are going to be. There were games where he struggled just because he didn't get the touches. They got the law firm.
Goal line carries, too.
Yeah,
especially.
He loses a ton of those. All of those, almost exclusively, those go to the law firm.
Yeah, well, we'll be discussing that as the draft comes closer. But do we have time for one more?
Yeah, we can squeeze one in. I got to edit up that break.
All right, fact or fiction.
Disaster.
Michael Sam is a non-story by week six.
I think he may be a non-story by about week one when he's not on. Well... Actually, no, it'll be a big story if he wouldn't make a roster, but he had a disastrous combine, second lowest amount of reps on the bench press, et cetera, et cetera. this guy.
And I can see it being blamed on the hype and the, you know, all the hubbub about the story.
And look, week one, it's going to be a big story. Let's assume he is on a roster and he's playing. Week one, it's going to be a massive story. You get through two or three weeks of him having no contribution or a pedestrian contribution, I think the story just mercifully goes away.
I do too.
Until somebody in his locker room says something stupid. That's what will bring it back up. It's someone in that locker room or someone in the media saying something stupid and making it a story again.
Right.
Because to me, Rick, and I think you agree, it's already a non-story.
Exactly.
All right, Rick. Well, this episode of the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show is mercifully over. Tune back in Thursday night at AsylumFantasySports.com and Blog Talk Radio for the bonus hour. You're not going to want to miss that. Not a ton of fantasy football, I got to be honest with you, but fun, frivolity, nonsense, all kinds of just radio gold is really what it is.
Velvet to your ears.
I don't know what that means, but sure, velvet to your ears. So that's it. Thank you to the Armed Forces Radio Network. Give them a follow on Twitter at the AFRN. Check out the bonus hour Thursday. We will be back live next Tuesday, 7 Eastern, on AsylumFantasySports.com. Till then, we'll see you.
Take care.